Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Hello, moin und guten Tag. Welcome to a new episode of Heirlooms, Objects from German History. I'm Judith, and today I brought you an heirloom to eat. Specifically, it's even fast food. Not only because of that, Travis Dow is here too. Hello.
Hi.
Hi.
I need it um die Welt. I need das euch gefällt.
Yeah, it's a special episode today. It's kind of one of my favorite fast foods. One can almost say that today's heirloom is an American heirloom crossover, because the basic idea of the little man steak, or poor man steak, as it's sometimes known here in German, has something to do with American GIs. Well, and ketchup. So now anyone who's ever been to Germany knows of this ubiquitous meal. But okay, let's take it from the top.
Well, it's late summer 1949 and we are in Berlin. The traces of the war are still clearly visible and perceptible everywhere. There are shortages everywhere and people have to make the most of what's available. So does Hertha Heuer. She runs a snack shack, an Imbissbude, as you would say in German, mm-hmm. on the corner of Kantstraße and Kaiser Friedrichstraße. There she sells bratwursts with her own sauce creations with, let's say, a rather mediocre success.
Now that was about to change when her husband, who was working for the Americans at the time, came up with a great new sparkling idea. See, the Americans were used to pouring enormous amounts of ketchup on their huge, whatever, T-bone steaks, which obviously tasted pretty good. But this was new to Hertha's husband at the time. At the time, ketchup was not so known in Germany. And now T-bone steaks were, of course, unaffordable for post-war Berliners. But, as you might imagine, fried sausages, that's one thing they did have. For example, the Spandau without Pelle, a new creation. Today we might call that the Currywurst, the Currywurst, the curry sausage.
Yeah, in January 1959, 10 years later, she had the name of her sauce, Chillup, basically like chili ketchup, protected as a trademark. It's the Munich Patent Office number 721319, in fact. Chill up, not chill out, has nothing to do with a relaxation. As we said, the name is made up of the words chili and ketchup. Although Hertha Heuer said throughout her lifetime that she would not use Finnish ingredients for her sauce, she would mix them from tomato paste with 12 Indian spices. In fact, we don't know how it really tasted because the original recipe of the first currywurst is lost today. Attempts of big companies to buy her recipe or brand her product, Hertha rejected throughout her lifetime. It is said that until her death in 1999, she had never entrusted her recipe to anyone else.
Let me mention here real quick, we've said this in the past, especially on German episodes. We love to hear your feedback. If you enjoy listening to this, what objects from German history there are, you know, that you know of that we should take a closer look at. We actually got a lot of good stuff from our German listeners, but we also realized you might have some ideas too, or are at least curious about something. So find us on Twitter. You can find us under the, well, Judit is at @meet_Judit, and I'm Travis J. Dow. Or you can, you know, give us feedback. You can like us on @GermanyPodcast, obviously. And the links to all that will be in the show notes. So, okay, back to the show.
The success of the currywurst happened quickly. Hertha Heuer's snack shack moved to a food stall in the Kaiser Friedrichstraße 59, and there it developed into a solid institution. It was open day and night, and Heuer employed up to 19 sales assistants at their peak. But by the 1980s, it had become one of the most popular food stalls in Germany. Since then, she competed with another fast food. Do you have an idea which one?
Man, so I've had like dozens of Döner kebabs since I was here. So I'm going to guess that, especially in Berlin.
Yeah. Do they have good kebab in Berlin?
Oh, my God. Yeah. And also like at 3 a.m, which is something that I didn't have in Munich. I've had really good ones here. I've had really good ones in Bremen and Hamburg since I've been here. I'm not kidding. It's like kebab every other day, pretty much.
Is kebab a thing in the US?
No, not at all. It's actually illegal to have meat on a spit like that. So you will never find a Döner. Maybe it's a state by state thing, but California, Oregon, Washington, every place I've been on the West Coast, you will never, it's impossible actually to get a real Döner. I could not tell you how sad that makes me, but
I don't even get it. It's illegal to
Yep, Döners are illegal. Imagine that.
Döner and Kinderüberraschung. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly.
It's so sad.
Mm-hmm. I think so. Yeah.
Yeah. but actually you're right. Since the 80s, Hertha Heuer competed with kebab and the hamburgers, of course, for hungry patrons looking for a quick lunch or after a bit of drinking on Saturday nights. I think this is what you mentioned too.
I've been there.
been there, done that, yes, and are still a little hungry, perhaps. Yeah. I think one thing is clear. The original currywurst is a real child of Berlin, and it's linked to the upswing on the Western sector's economy and to West Berlin. But of course, such an important invention develops its own life and several copycat variants.
Yeah, one thing I never got to try, for obvious reasons, is the fact that the currywurst actually also arrived in communist East Berlin in the 1960s. One place for all currywurst lovers was Konopke's Imbiss, like Konopke's fast food or, you know, snack shack, whatever. Now, okay, wait a minute, because in the GDR, currywurst was only offered without the intestine, and in some cases, they would use water hoses instead of intestine to give the sausage its shape during like cooking, and like during the cooking process, you just stick the meat in a hose and then it comes out like a sausage. The sausage was also served uncut in one piece, as opposed to like what I'm used to in West Germany. It's kind of pre-cut up like my mom used to do for me. And then in East Germany, it still had the curry powder, but they didn't have ketchup because that's a Western thing. So there was kind of this cold, thin liquid ketchup, or like a also cold, like thinned, like really thin tomato sauce. Like they tried to copy ketchup basically. And so as finger food, in Germany, you kind of, or West Germany, I guess, you kind of have a little fork, or you can You know, there's the same way that Germans eat French fries, which is really weird to Americans. But one sausage end was left without sauce, so you could, you know, grip it with your fingers and eat it like finger food.
Okay, you eat fries with the fingers?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. It's all finger food in America. All of it.
Always? Also in
Always.
like restaurants or?
Oh, yeah. You never, a fork never touches a fry in America.
Okay.
Yeah. But also, we put the ketchup on the side. In Germany, often you use mayonnaise or like a mix of mayonnaise and ketchup, and you just kind of dump it all over. Like Canadians know, like poutine or whatever. We don't do that. It's always fries and then ketchup on the side, and you dip it.
I
But yeah, it's always yeah.
really like this way better, yes, because it's up. How do you say? It's not very fine if you have the fingers to eat with, and then all is full of ketchup and blah.
Just messy, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's a whole different way, yeah. Because like at McDonald's in Germany, there's no forks, right? So people are used to eating it the American way.
Yes,
Right?
it's absolute okay to eat it with the fingers
Yeah.
at like McDonald's or Burger King or, but you would obviously I would say you would never use your fingers if you're in a restaurant or something like this.
Yep, I've definitely noticed that. I'm kind of a barbarian over here, but yep.
You always can say you know how it's done the right way.
Sure, yeah.
Did you know that there was a Currywurst Museum in Berlin?
Well, I hope so. I mean, I love the idea. I didn't know that. I've never been, but yeah, why not?
Me too, but it was only open from 2009 to 2018. Yeah, but I
Too bad.
think
It just shut down last year.
yeah.
Dang.
I think just looking at the curry sausages instead of eating them simply did not prevail, I think.
Yeah. That kind of makes sense, I guess, yeah. Like buy a Currywurst in the gift shop.
Yeah, but the gift shops are always at the end. Perhaps
You're right,
you
yep.
have to get your
Start
currywurst
with one
first
and then
and
enjoy, yeah.
then I'll walk through the exhibition. We talked about that kebab is not a thing in the US, but currywurst, is currywurst a thing?
No. So I'm always looked at like I'm crazy when I say that I miss Currywurst, like a curry hot dog, you know, like it's just so good, but Americans can't even imagine it. It just doesn't exist. Well, okay, that's not quite true. This is kind of why I wanted this episode so bad, because I was raised on them in Munich. This is what I grew up on, Currywurst and Döner. And I instantly missed them like crazy when I arrived to the States when I was like 14. And I only found unacceptable, boring ketchup. Like I hate ketchup. I'm a salsa guy. I like every other sauce. Remoulade, whatever, anything is better than ketchup. I'll even put mayonnaise on my fries, but don't tell Americans that. But the ironic thing is that if you go to a German supermarket, you'll see Heinz, which is an American brand,
Yes.
despite the name. Heinz makes curry ketchup. And I've seen that in America, an American bottle of American ketchup, but ironically, only in German delicatessen shops, which is kind of nuts. And, okay, of course, I say of course, but this makes me sound crazy again, but of course, one of my very first purchases, every time I arrive in Germany, basically before I even leave the airport, is I go find currywurst flavored chips. In fact, I have some at Toby's house right now. They're in the pantry. Just the whole flavor, currywurst as a flavor for snacks. When I say currywurst chips, like curry hot dog chips to Americans, curry ketchup hot dog chips to Americans, I have to explain a whole lot first. Like
Yes.
it's just yeah. But oh my God, I love Currywurst chips. They're the best.
I've never tried them. I
Oh my God, I have some right now. I can give you some when I go to Regensburg.
think I have to find one and buy one.
Oh, they're so good. They're the same company that makes like the paprika and Ungarisch or whatever chips. They're not a sponsor, so whatever. But yeah. Oh, so good.
So sad. Why not? Why don't they sponsor? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well, because they're chips. French fries are potatoes. Chips are potatoes. It just works. Yeah. It's like curry ketchup potato chips. Yeah. Oh, so good.
Did you know that the currywurst is so famous in Germany that it has its own currywurst gate controversy?
I did not know this, but I'm also not surprised. Of course there is.
I think we made it really clear that the currywurst is from Berlin, was invented there, and
mm-hmm.
but not all people do accept this. And take wonder, these people who don't accept it are from Hamburg, of course.
Huh. That's where I am right now.
Yeah.
Wait, what?
There's also a book about the invention of the currywurst. It's a German novella by Uwe Timm, and it also has the title The Discovery of the Currywurst. And there he attributes the invention of the currywurst to the fictional character from his novel Lena Brücke. And in his story, she runs a snack on the Großneumarkt in Hamburg, where you currently are, and mm-hmm. that to have served the first currywurst in 1947, 2 whole years before Hertha Heuer in Berlin.
Currywurst gate. I'm shocked right now. This is a scandal indeed.
At least since the publication of the book, the Berlin origin of currywurst is repeatedly put in question, especially by hamburgers. I mean, residents of Hamburg, never mind.
Yeah. Let's not go there.
Because according to Uwe Timm, the novel is based on a real childhood memory, namely the 1947 at the Großneumarkt in Hamburg, for the first time a currywurst. And so since 2003, a memorial plaque in Berlin has been dedicated to Hertha Heuer and the former location of her snack bar. Also in 2003, a commemorative plaque on the Hamburg Großneumarkt was installed for the fictional character of Lena Brücke.
Okay.
And you can visit it and take a picture.
Yeah. Okay.
And
interesting.
Say, hey,
yeah.
I've been uh-huh. to the fictional birthplace. The real fictional birthplace of the real currywurst. And your American friends won't know what you're talking about. What?
It just won't make any sense on Facebook. They're like, what?
What?
It's yeah,
the
anyways.
Real currywurst or the original currywurst? Or nobody knows. That's the currywurst. Anyway, I really feel like currywurst now.
Yeah, so I'm actually going to go to the Großneumarkt right now.
Okay.
Actually starving, because this is a really appetizing episode.
Yeah.
I wonder, to Americans this might sound weird, I don't know, but they're so good. It really works. Curry, ketchup, hot dog, done. So good.
Is hot dog only the sausage in America? Because here hot dog is the whole thing with onions and ketchup and like these pickles.
That's also a controversial topic. So you think of a hot dog with a bun.
Yes.
But when we're kids and my mom just, you know, cuts up a hot dog, there might not be a bun. It's just the sausage. Really, just even if it's cold, you could still have a cold hot dog. It's still a hot dog. A currywurst is a hot dog. We don't need to. It's also a hot dog. It's really just a sausage.
Ah.
But yeah, normally you'd think of a hot dog with a bun, relish, ketchup, mustard, onions, whatever. Or not. Some people hate all that stuff. I don't want to. This is a really controversial topic. You're going to get us in trouble.
Oh, sorry.
but sometimes we call them Franks, which obviously we mean Frankfurters. But that's a hot dog. A Frank is a hot dog.
Okay.
A ballpark. Don't even just okay. Anyways.
it's also controversial because here in Germany, some people say Wiener to the Frankfurter, and others say Frankfurter to the Wiener, and it's.
Like we know what a Wiener, like a Wiener sausage is, but we would just call them hot dogs. I mean, we would still say they're hot dogs.
Yeah, you see, it's complicated. I'm not pretty sure if we can win here, so let's say goodbye for today. Have a nice day, evening, morning, whenever you've listened to us, and see you next time at Heirlooms, Objects from German History.
Let me throw in here that in case you don't know our other Podcastnik universe podcasts, then have a look at the show notes, podcastnik.com. And I just revamped the website. I'm still kind of working on it, but it's much better than it was, so which was about time. So please do stop by. Especially, we'd like to mention our new show, Past Access, with Pete Coleman, which is on YouTube. And just, I mean, I got to say, so first of all, Pete does this all by himself. It's documentary quality. He travels around Stockholm and Barcelona and Washington, D.C. and all over the place. You can see it on YouTube. It's the Past Access channel. And please do us a favor and check it out. Pete's in a wheelchair and travels the world from his chair and then comes home and edits all that stuff together. And it's simply amazing.
It's really good.
I think the last one was Stockholm. Yeah. You sent me a picture of you guys watching it on your TV, and I was really happy. So links to that and everything else, like how to find us on social media and all our other projects, are in the show notes. So yeah.
Then we just have to say Auf Wiedersehen.
Auf Wiedersehen. Bye. Aber ich gehe mir jetzt echt eine Currywurst holen. Das war kein Witz. Ich sterbe. Ich muss los.
Ja, ich weiß schon. Ich auch. Na dann.
Okay.
Mach's gut.
Yep, tschüss.
Tschüss. Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.